Welcome to Aligned Entrepreneur Secrets. I'm your host, Tracy Birmingham, a business flow and efficiency expert, CEO of Goldie.com, and founder of the Business Alignment Method. We help entrepreneurs stop the hustle and get their time back by streamlining systems and building the flow state directly into the day-to-day operations of the business. We believe that you're here to make a massive impact on the world. The stress and logistics of running a business shouldn't be holding you back. Be sure to stick around until the end of the show where we'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let's get started. All right. Thank you and welcome to the Aligned Entrepreneur Secrets. I am your host, Tracy Birmingham, and today I am joined by Emma Powell. Emma is the founder and chief interest officer at Rise Capital Investments. She is a homeschool mom of six. She retired her husband at age 48, and they now travel full-time working remote and helping other investors. Yep. Welcome, Emma. I am so excited to have you here.
Yeah, I'm so excited too. You mentioned before, you know, when we're just chatting about business, and we're like, we probably ought to press record because we could talk about business all day. And you said, I'm speaking your love language. And I'm like, I relate to that so much because I just am very passionate about businesses, entrepreneurship systems, and just figuring out like how all this stuff works. I love to talk about it probably more than I love to even do it, but I just find the whole topic so fascinating.
Well, the possibilities of what you can do with all of the things, right? Entrepreneur systems, process, all of that. So give me a background because I think that talking about the possibilities, you kind of have a dream life that many would love to have, right? Of investing full time, of traveling full time, of you're a mom of six and yet you're still making that work. Can you give me your background? How did you get started in this? How did this all come about for you?
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out, I was reading something recently about a famous actor who was very overweight and he recently lost like 200 pounds or something like that. And he talked about, he's not actually any happier now than he was before. He just feels like he can get out there and enjoy life more because his body cooperates now. And I sat back and I thought about that. I was like, cause people say, oh, you've got the dream life. You're living the dream, all that. We are, but at the same time, your level of happiness doesn't actually change when you make more money, when you finally fall in love and get married, when you finally have a baby. Your level of happiness kind of tends to stay the same. And so I think it's really important to point out that raising our base level of happiness and choosing our attitude and choosing how happy we're going to be or how content we're going to be in a certain situation is a conscious decision. It's a conscious process that you need to go through. It's mostly gratitude. It's like practicing gratitude. So it's not like our lives got all of a sudden dreamier or better when we finally hit the goal, like we want to retire our husband. We're pushing towards that and we're dogged determination. And then it happened and we're like, oh yeah, that wasn't actually as great as we thought it was going to be. It's like, well, we should travel. Let's go on an adventure. That would make this great, right? And then it introduces these financial stresses and pressures and logistical things and trying to keep everybody happy, who wants to go here or there. And so you have to just say, this is the way I'm going to be. And then I'm going to create a lifestyle that I want, but that's not going to make me any different, any better, or any happier. So I like to get that out of the way first because I don't want to be one of those people who goes out there and like sells the dream and it's not actually true. So that's kind of my background there, is like just conscious happiness and intentional living. So when I was very young, ADHD, I was a kid who was like, oh, she'd be so bright if she just could get her work done on time. And I was just a train wreck. I was always having to stay after school in detention, not because of my behavior problems, but because I couldn't get my work done. And so eventually they take me out of the fun stuff and I'd have you sitting there like, oh, doing homework. So I'm not a homework doer. I'm a test taker. I am not a prep kind of person. I can get up and speak without a lot of preparation about a wide variety of topics. And so I always just came at things from a little different angle. And I had to learn some very mechanical ways of coping with life. Like with a large family, part of me wonders if I didn't have so many kids so that I could have an excuse about why I'm such a train wreck. They're like, oh yeah, you know, you got four kids, you got six kids or whatever. And I was kind of getting a pass for being flaky. And then I came across some processes just for homemakers on how to keep your house clean, how to meal prep, how to get your kids. And I really got into the stuff like speed cleaning, fly lady, meal prepping, all of this kind of stuff. And it made my life better.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I think I bought everything that she has ever put out also.
Yes. But yeah, and the systems and processes that she taught me how to do when I was in my early 20s with little babies has stuck with me. So even though I don't fly lady my house anymore, those things. So when you read like the E-Myth Revisited, or I went back to business school and we would take systems and process design, like process engineering, like bottlenecks and mapping all that out. And it harkened back. Once I found out how to organize my schoolwork, I did well in college. Once I figured out how to organize my home became like spotless. And all the things that I wanted came to me when I had systems and processes in place. And so with business, I don't like to actually execute the systems and process. I tend to be more of a founder dreamer. I'm not an implementer, or what do you call it? The integrator. That's not me. Yeah. I can do it if I have a boss and I'm given this job as a graphic designer, very nitpicky and making sure everything is like right where it needs to be. So I can be very detail oriented, but when I'm running the entire business or I'm at the executive level in the business, I just don't feel like I can keep my hands in all those things. And so I love the systems and processes and designing them and helping people implement them. But is it going to be me who's doing all of the grunt work? No. I mean, I'm trying to retire. That's not really the business that I want to build. So getting those systems and processes in place and having dedicated people like an integrator, GM, general manager, is really key. My husband's an IT guy and he keeps all that backend stuff running, and he prefers the integrator role to what I'm doing. And so it works well for us. That's why we work well together as a couple. So that's kind of our background there. And just my kids being homeschooled, the systems and processes at school were not working for us. And so I would develop my own, and I realized like, I'm already kind of doing this. We might as well just pull them out and just do it. Right. So that helped. And then we got that time freedom and that location freedom where the kids and I could go whatever, do whatever. I was working remote or on location. And then he had this job where he had to commute. And so it became an important goal for us to finish that process of time freedom and location freedom by giving him financial freedom so that then we could redo our lives, basically. And that was what we were able to do about a year and a half ago. Got laid off for the last time. And we just said, you know, we're done. So let's just go have an adventure.
So I think it's really interesting in what you're saying is along the journey that you've had, my brain's going a mile a minute in what I want to go with. So number one is you're looking at what is in front of you, mm-hmm. choosing either that or something different, and then you're putting it in place. And even things that you want but aren't necessarily your skill set, or even things mm-hmm. that you think are enjoyable for you, right? It's not even a skill set, because you could do it. Anybody could probably do anything if they wanted to, right?
And, yeah, it's important enough. Yeah, they'll figure it out.
But you might be miserable doing it, right? So, yeah. But you have your partner, right? Like to be able to, you have complementary skill sets, almost like puzzle pieces that mm-hmm. you can put those together. And that's a system that you choose and create. If you don't have, like my husband wouldn't be his thing, right? But so I find team members that have the complementary skill sets of the things that I don't want to do, but they love doing it. Mm-hmm. Pop that into place and then off you go.
Yes. And I think that scaling a business, that's really been where I've been able to discover kind of like my true talent, right? Is putting teams together. Because groups, I have my husband and I are both from very large families. We have a lot of kids. We deal with a lot of people and many different personalities. And we don't get to a choice to say, you know, this isn't working out. Good luck on your next opportunity. Like, these are family members. We have to keep them in our lives and learn how to get along and learn how to make it work. And it's often rocky. And so that understanding that teams are going to be rocky, but you need them anyway. So reading a book like Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and you get done reading that, and you're like, all they do is fight all the time. How is this book even helpful to sit around the executive table and argue with each other? And I realize it's like the process of working the problems out doesn't mean that the team isn't functioning. Right. It means that you are getting things out on the table and you're dealing with it. So I put together a team a little over 2 years ago. I have a free investing club. We still do it. It's every Monday night. And we just get together and we just look at deals. And I was looking for an opportunity for people to be able to get involved in commercial real estate with less upfront work. Like, you don't need to start your own active business. Let's just pool our capital, pool our our expertise and our resources, put an investing club together, and then we can go do deals together as a larger group. And so that really had people coming into these deals with very little skin in the game. And some of them just never did anything, right? You'd never see them again. And others just kept rising to the surface, and they'd call me up and say, how can we support this club? How can we do more? Like, and we did 3, 4, 5 deals together, and they started to just rise to the top of it, responsible, did what they said we were going to do, and experience. And so I tapped into one particular member who had been the CEO of a large retail corporation. I think it was $1 billion to somewhere over $1 billion of revenue every year in a large regional grocery store chain. And when I figured that out and I saw how he was and how quickly he was catching on to the stuff, I was like, this is what I need. Because my husband came from the startup world where the founders would come in, start the business, and then they don't want to run it, right? They're founders. They don't want to be CEOs. So they'll bring in a CEO and the business kind of flounders. And so looking over those data and statistics and watching the companies that he was working for, he's a startup expert, IT expert, because he's a generalist and, you know, he's a guy running around putting out all the fires. Then he would grow the business to a certain point, and then he no longer knew what to do because he'd never really worked in a larger business. And they bring in the CEO about the same time that he was at the edge of his skill set or kind of pushing against the edge of his incompetence, like Drucker says. And they bring in the CEO and you kind of just watch things not growing and not doing as well. And the data says that the founder who stays as the CEO, the companies actually outperform those who bring in an experienced CEO. So I knew that I needed my co-founder to be a CEO already. Like, he already had that experience, already had that mindset. And so I partnered up with him and his wife and my husband and brought on a couple of other partners to go in and run this business. And some days we all want to go on vacation together and raise our children together and have our kids marry each other, right? And other days we're like, what was I thinking, right? So this is to say that these processes are called processes because they're in process.
Yes.
And working that out and getting those teams together. Because if I knew if I wanted to scale, I needed a scale ready CEO, because mm-hmm. I saw my husband struggle in scaling and I knew I need somebody experienced who had done that already. So we're the startup, he's the growth guy, and bring this team together and do something really cool by finding people with a complementary skill set. So if it's not in your spouse, you at least need someone supportive, right? But if your spouse isn't going to be someone who works with you, that's fine. But you need to find that same concept of complementary skill sets and go out and build that team, because you're never going to be able to scale a business on your own. And you're never going to become a billionaire working for somebody else. Not that I want to be a billionaire. I don't know. But even a 10, you know, deca millionaire is usually does not happen unless you're at the very highest level director or C-suite in like T-Mobile or, you know, Walmart, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So if you really want to be truly wealthy, you need to be a business owner. And to scale a business to build that wealth, you have to be great at building teams. And to me, that is more important than even the systems and processes. So if you build the right team, the processes will come with that experience. You can keep the team together from a relationship standpoint. The rest of that kind of takes care of itself.
Yes, and.
And. It's not and. Just-
and
it's you still got to do it. You still got to do it.
You still got to do it. You still got to put it into place. And I think just having those healthy relationships, though, mm-hmm. absolutely will move you forward. But it's not just financial wealth, though. It's time wealth.
As yes.
well, that the team is going to give you time wealth. Like you said, you can't do it on your own. Literally, you can, like, there aren't enough hours in the day to do it, right? And so the team actually will help scale and give you that freedom.
But I work less hours now at this larger business than I ever did in my solopreneur businesses. And so when I was looking at the work that I was doing, not only now am I able to scale back the number of hours I'm working because I'm not taking care of everything, I'm also getting to really niche down into only the activities that I enjoy the most. So there are still things I have to do that I'm like, I do it because I have to, not because I love it. But for the most part, the more you grow, the more you can niche. And then that time freedom is not just having extra time or free time. It's a time freedom to spend your working time in ways that are really meaningful to you, that you can really lean into that strength, and the weaknesses you can delegate out.
Yes. And so work doesn't even feel like work at that point, because the stuff you love doing anyways. Right. Yes. Which only makes, and if you're delegating the stuff out to the stuff that you hate that someone else loves, like, that's an inspired business, that's growth. That's like, that's when it just explodes.
Mm-hmm. And asking yourself that question, what is it that I like doing that other people hate doing? So I'll give you an example. My daughter came to visit recently and she spent the entire time, she's on her phone, has her face in her phone. And I was getting a little upset because you're here on this vacation, you're here to see us, you got your face in your phone. I said, what are you even doing? She said, I'm editing videos. I said, you like editing videos? She said, oh, I love editing videos. I would edit videos all day. And she was just making little vlogs for her boyfriend. And nobody else was even ever going to see him. So why aren't you doing this on? So I hired her to be my video editor because she loves it. I hate it. After 10 years as a photographer, I know I don't like video or editing video. And my husband's doing some of it. And I was trying to help out because I know how. But I hate it. I will never love it. It will never be my passion. So I got to see my daughter with her face in her phone. I said, well, if you love this, you would do this. And she's so excited and she's diving into it every day and loves. And I love that I can pay her to do something that she loves that I hate. So ask yourself, what are you good at? Or what do you really like that most other people hate? Because a lot of us would say like, I want to play all day on a beach. Well, we all love that, right? But most people don't hate that. So you're adding value in doing things that are uncomfortable. Public speaking, people are more scared of that than death. So if you're comfortable with public speaking, maybe lean into that.
Right.
Those types of things. Cold calling. I have another daughter who loves cold calling. I said, lean into that because that can be very valuable. So do what other people don't like doing. It doesn't mean you have to hate it. It just has to mean like, what do I actually like that other people hate? And then do that.
And then you've got your own niche. You've set it up, right? So
good. And then that leaves extra mental energy to work on some of the systems and processes that you may not like as much because you're so fulfilled by this niche that the cleanup around the edges is just part of what you need to get done.
And it allows you to do the fun stuff more.
Yes.
So you don't mind it because it just makes it so that you get more time here.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, so tell me, what are you doing today? Like
I got two things. If you're watching this on the video, I don't know. We've got both active investors, people who want to own their own properties, run their own investing businesses. I design pitch decks. They're very investor centric. It's like asking themselves, like, what is the system that we're going to go through to identify, like, who is your ideal investor raising capital for by an apartment building or self-storage unit or just some large commercial deal or a portfolio of houses, like larger deals where they need investor capital, and helping them figure out, because they come in and they don't have a really planned out business models, especially if they're newer, and just sitting down with them and saying, because I don't do any coaching, I don't do any real estate coaching, but this gives me an outlet to do the coaching. So this is kind of like a side business I do that is tangentially related because I just love it so much. I kind of gave up pitch decks for a while and now I'm back to it.
Yeah.
And just being able to say like, what are you trying to accomplish here? And what type of person as an investor do you need on your team? And let's create the pitch deck around that message and that person that's going to be attracted to the project that you're doing and the work that you're doing here. So that is for active investors. Also our free club for active investors, people who want to pool capital, pool resources, all that, and go out and do deals together. And then on the passive side, which is the larger part of our business, we raise capital from retail investors. So professionals and entrepreneurs who have great careers, they get paid well, and they maybe be a little bit drowning on the time side, and they do not have time to go buy 20, 30 rental houses that it would take to replace their income completely on real estate. They do not have the time to go out there and buy their own multifamily building. They barely have time to take their kids to soccer practice. So people who need to cut back at work because they are hard workers and are building businesses. But when they think I need to make more money, they think I'm going to go start another business. A doctor's like, well, I'm going to add this product line, or I'm going to expand into this new clinic, or an entrepreneur who says like, hey, I'm a real estate broker, but now I'm going to go and start a restaurant. And that's how they think, and professionals and entrepreneurs, they think about active income, and passive income sounds like a scammy myth. Yeah. So we basically help them say like, if you have lived below your means, you make a great income, live below the means, invest the rest into a diversified portfolio between stocks, paper assets and real assets, and go design your life. Go be intentional about the way you're designing your life. Because a lot of times life just happens to us. And our message is all about you happening to life? What do you want? And our founding principles are, one, we need higher than average returns backed by real assets. If you could just invest in the stock market and get the returns that we're getting, that would be easier. Just go do that, right? But if you need to diversify out of paper assets into real assets, or you need to get higher returns than what the stock market is doing, it's a little bit of a headache to invest in an alternative asset class like real estate. You get paperwork, you can jump through the hoops, all of that kind of stuff. So we have to get higher than average returns. We have to do better than what you're doing in the stock market to entice you to come and say, I want to diversify into real estate. I don't know how. These people can help me do that in a way that is as passive as possible. Mm-hmm. The second is that we really want to help to reduce risk. So we're all about diversification. So we want you to stay in your 401k and your paper assets and things like that. Stay in the stock market. Just allocate a portion over to something else, get it into a real asset. And then you can even diversify within real estate. Do some self-storage in Georgia, do a multifamily in Seattle, do these types of things and saying, okay, we're going to do some sort of project in Texas. We also do private credit. So you can partner up with us and put money into a deal and basically be like a silent partner in a deal. But you can also loan money to fix and flippers and people like that, where you're going to be getting income off of that debt payment that they're paying to you. You're the bank, you're the lender. Or you can just invest in the project and share in the profits. And so we have both of those options as well. Some are short-term, some are long-term. So think about diversification, not just between paper and real assets, but between geographies, asset types, different classes, different types of buildings, different time horizons, and how comfortable you feel. You can also diversify by how much money you put into each one of those deals. If it's something you know a lot about or you've been doing for a while, put in more. If it's something that's new, put in less. So think about diversification. That's very important to us. And then the third thing is doing as much good as we possibly can. So helping you to support a nonprofit, to have more time to volunteer, to spend more time with your kids, like let's raise up some good citizens, spend time with loved ones, all of these things. And we are implementing nonprofits into our business model, where we're volunteering for one another's causes, encouraging our investors to find things that really light them up in their causes. And hopefully someday soon, we're working on the technology behind this, being able to actually donate to your charities right on the same platform that you are investing in the cash flowing deals on the other side, the for-profit deals. So that's something exciting that we have kind of coming down the road.
Love it. Very good. So how can people find you? How, if they want to learn more, know more, where would you like them to go?
Yeah. For high achievers who are excited about this kind of stuff, you can hear it in my voice. I get so excited. If you get excited about this stuff, like we want to talk to you about this. So you go to partnerwithrise.com and that'll get you on our calendar to talk to me or one of my partners. If you want to talk to me directly, investwithemma.com, go over there, schedule a call, find out what we've got. It's an a la carte customized portfolio. So you can invest in this deal if you like it and not in that deal if you don't like it. So you really get to pick and choose what you're doing inside of that portal. And like I said, if you need a pitch deck, go over to highrise.group and I can help you. If you got a startup, a tech startup, something like that, or a real estate deal, I can help you get your marketing materials out to your ideal investor if you're raising money for your own business.
Very good. Emma, thank you so much for being here. You know, I think one of the key things that I'm hearing that you've done over and over and over again is just choose.
Yes.
Right. You choose what you want and then you go for it and you put the steps into place. You put the people in the place, the team, everything in order to get there. And I think that yes. That is so powerful and it's been such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I've always loved talking about this. My love language too. Appreciate you having me on.
Yep. Very good. And I will have everything that Emma talked about in the show notes. So click below and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Welcome to Aligned Entrepreneur Secrets. My name is Tracy Birmingham. I am your host. And today I have someone extra special, my very first podcast guest ever, James Hurst.
James. Hi, everyone.
Yes. Hi. James Hurst is the mastermind behind CascadeWindowCleaning.com, PowerWheelParties.com, GoKartPark.com, GHLBountyHunters.com, YourMom.com, just kidding, JamesHurst.com, TheMarketingShow.com, MyTechSupport.com, 15YearMortgage.com, EmailSlurper3000.com, DDXWeb.com, and WorldsBestBusinesses.com. He excels at taking ideas from nothing to revenue and then proceeds to start over every few months. I love it. That is a lot. Welcome, James. I am so happy to have you.
Thank you. Okay, so all of those domain names are real, except for yourmom.com, which I would love to have, but...
Could be interesting.
And even if you visited someone, they're like, oh, there's our dead links, because some of them I let go, and some of them I just barely bought, and there's nothing there yet. Like, it's just a cloud that's just hosted. But a lot of them have at least a landing page, but you should go check them out. There's a lot of good domains there. Who doesn't collect a good domain?
There are who doesn't collect domains, yes. Right? I
mean, the marketing show, that was seven. My tech support, that was how much. And a 15-year mortgage, I mean, that's a good brand if I wanted to get loans and stuff. So anyways, I just tend to like think big and then like act like kind of small sometimes. That's good. We're getting there.
But that's the baby steps, right? That's baby how you step. You get anything done. So tell me about you. Tell me more about who you are. Who is James? What are you doing?
Okay.
All of those things.
60 seconds?
You got 60 seconds. Go for it.
Okay. I was born on June 15th, 1982 in Salem, Oregon. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm from the US. And so my parents, I have a brother, three brothers.